Hey there, I'm David Brown, and welcome to a special edition of Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. Now, I say special edition because, you know, it isn't every day we get the chance to meet Sentinel Watch listeners from around the world in person. But during the 2025 annual meeting of the First Church of Christ Zionist in Boston this past June, the seats of the original edifice of the Mother Church were filled with students of Christian Science, Sentinel Watch listeners, who'd come to participate in the interactive podcast you're about to hear. Joining me up front was Tony Lobel, a Christian Science practitioner and co-host of Sentinel Watch. Producer Carlos Machado was out in the audience gathering questions for us to explore. And many of those questions centered on how to pray about world events, while we explored what Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, had to say on this subject in her writings, most notably Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. At the root of the conversation, though, is a concept that's central to Christian Science, and that's healing and the power of prayer. And we didn't waste much time getting to the heart of it either. Why is healing so important?
Well, I didn't grow up with Christian Science. I didn't know I could be healed. I had a healing before I knew about Christian Science, but I didn't know what had happened. And all I can say is once I started reading the Christian Science textbook, which is 150 years old this year, well done, Science and Health, I became one of those people who learned to know God through the science of Christ. And in my case, I needed Science and Health to lead me to the Bible. I didn't even have the Bible. And so all those people out there who don't love the Bible, I'm, you know, the poster boy for actually you will love it if you see it through the lens of science. And for those people who do love the Bible, you're going to love it so much more when you see it through the lens of science. And so we need to heal because it illustrates that the science is a science. You know, every time we turn to God because we got a problem, we're actually acknowledging that science, the science of Christ, which is exactly what the world needs to solve all its problems, from the littlest to the greatest. And if we're doing the littlest, we're still demonstrating the law that applies to the greatest. And so every time we are using whatever we know of Christian Science to work something out, we are part of waking up the world to the fact that there is a wonderful God who is love, and that everyone has a right to not only be loved by God, but to feel that love of God and experience it, proving it for ourselves, for our family, for our neighbors, for our community. We're proving it for everyone who doesn't know they have it, but they do have it, and we can help them know that too.
I love that you use that word illustrate. I've been rereading Peel Years of Trial because they've just re-released it. But one of the things that Peel notes, and I thought this was really important, especially in the context of healing, it was to catch even a glimpse of the proportions of the challenge she proposed, Mrs. Eddy proposed, to offer the world, one must go back to her concept of healing as evidence of the scientific validity of spirit.
That's beautiful.
It is.
Yeah.
Beneath the false confidence of the age, beneath the surface bloom of materialism, she saw a mortal illness which demanded radical measures. The spiritual healing of physical disease was both an instance and a test of the healing of all trust in matter. The miraculous was not an exception to universal law, but an illustration of it. Carlos, we getting any questions?
We're getting a few questions, and I'm going to feed these two to you because they're related, I think. How can we pray for the world, and how can we best pray for world peace?
Praying for the world is an interesting one because Mrs. Eddy talks about all the different opinions, you know, 1,000,000,000 different opinions. It's so easy to get caught up in the world's arguments and in the world's drama, and it's hard to take a step back and say, there's so many people arguing, and even if I got a good point, there's probably 10,000 people who've already made that point on Facebook or in a news page in the newspapers. What have I got to give that is different to that? And I think we've got so much to give that's very different to that. It takes the humility to get beyond our own opinions, no matter how valid they seem, and just say, how can I see the world through the lens of science in relation to those divine laws you just talked about? Am I going to get caught up into the warfare between human laws and human opinions and human views and even human nations? Or am I going to stand witness in relation to all those issues that the one law that is operating at all times is God's law? And the world needs witnesses to the truth of God's law. Now, one way we are witnesses is by living our lives on the basis of science. You know, if we're in an argument with someone, are we using those laws of God to resolve that argument? Are we seeing solutions through practicing Christian science in those situations? If we've been resenting someone for 30 years, are we going to put that on the altar and say, I can see through this on the basis of Christian science? Because if we're not doing it ourselves, why would we look at the news and expect nations to do it, or politicians to do it, or whoever's causing us an issue? So we can start with ourselves and prove the science that is the solution to the world's problems. And one of the ways I've seen that work in my own life is just all the ways I've seen through the opinions that I've been so attached to. And it's hard. You know, we don't even realize sometimes. And when you take a step back and think, is God thinking this? Is God seeing this? Is God saying this? Is God knowing this? I think we can get a whole different perspective, which can be of great value. You know, we have a lot of newspapers in the world. We have a lot of social media in the world. We have a lot of broadcasts in the world. Mary Baker Eddy gave us a newspaper because she knew that at all points there would be a need for something that is striving daily to stand under the influence of Christian science in how it's reporting. And that's the Christian Science Monitor. And I know one of the first stories I heard of someone going into the Christian Science practice who hadn't been in the practice to become available for the public in their practice was a gentleman who, he was a very busy lawyer, and he decided 2 days a week he would put aside 2 hours a day to just pray. Mm-hmm. And he had a family and he had everything that we all have, but he made those 2 hours on a Tuesday and Thursday, twice a week, sacred. And the way he started, because he didn't have any patience, he just took the Christian Science Monitor and he took every article in it as a patient, and he prayed and prayed until he reached that point of persuasion about what was true. And then he went on to the next article and prayed about it. And I think he said it was after 2 weeks, or 2 or 3 weeks anyway, someone suddenly called out of the blue, who he didn't know, and said, I need healing. I heard you're a Christian Scientist. Will you pray for me? And anyway, this individual started getting the calls, continued to pray for the world as well, and eventually became a Christian Science practitioner, a lecturer, and was on the board of directors.
Wow.
So an incredible example. But we can do that. We can pray for the world. But everything that would have us either loving or hating or putting things up that are opinions, we just have to ask ourselves, are they distracting me from actually looking beyond the issues to the one truth that will help solve the issues? Because it's not going to come through people or politics or anything unless it comes from what we in our practice can see of what's true. And we can do it. We literally can do it. We can see the issues behind the issues and add our prayers, and that light will be felt, and it will make such a difference.
You know, one of the things as you were talking about that and the spirit of the question, it seems to me, is right now there's this argument that we're divided, mm-hmm. that there are bad people, that there are good people. There are people who believe like I do and people who don't believe like I do.
Mm-hmm.
And we've kind of tribalized. And there's this idea that we can be separated.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone in this room knows where that could go. But here's the thing. That's the argument. That's the argument that we each have our own individual plans and we're pushing through and we are right. By the way, even if you look at the commentary about where media has gone, you know, so grateful for the monitor, but the commentary about where media has gone now is that we now look for our positions to be ratified, right? That we're all sort of going to these places that speak the truth to us or speak our truth, really, is what it's talking about. So when you were talking, I thought about, this gets back to something that Mrs. Eddy says about the nature of prayer. What are our motives in prayer?
Mm.
Are we looking for a ratification of those human conditions, right? That says, this person is bad, this person is good. I'm going to go to my books and I'm going to pray that they get right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're trying to look out from God's view, and what does God see? You know,
and that's where we have to begin.
Yeah, really. Well, that's the only way solutions come. You know, we know that in our own lives, don't we? Every time we're praying for a healing, we can pray, but it's when we are willing to yield all our sort of obsession with the problem or obsession with even the healing and just look out from God's point of view and see what God sees, we anticipate and expect that there will be change. And we might want change, and it's logical to want change when we want to have a healing, but in order for that change to happen, we've got to go to the, if you like, the engine of change, which is the reality, the truth, that life is spirit, that we are all the individual evidence of the fact that life is spirit. And that if we're seeing from that perspective and looking out to see what we note from a God's eye point of view, I like to say, that's when things change. And there are different ways that can happen. It can come as a real, clear, sudden inspiration. Or sometimes, I love Mrs. Eddy's phrase, hold steadfastly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it's holding steadfastly to that perception until finally the thing that has been discordant yields to the thing that is harmonious. And sometimes the thing that is harmonious is not what we were expecting. And we've got to be ready for that. It's always going to be good. It's always going to be a blessing beyond ourselves. But it might not be the blessing we preconceived was needed. You know,
right,
not
right.
My will, but thine be done.
Seems to come back to that a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it does in my practice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, humility. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Carlos, do we have another question?
Here's one that asks, there are so many things we're told to pray about every day. How are we to do that if we're not praying all day long?
Yeah.
One prayer barely scratches the surface.
Oh, well, I think one good prayer really can scratch the surface.
Go deeper than the surface, I think.
Yeah. So I wouldn't like to tell anyone how to pray, but I do like to share that one thing that's really helped me in my prayer life is something Mrs. Eddy shared as an answer to a question on prayer. And it was just really helpful because it isn't a formula, but it does capture to me some of the things that I think are helpful in our prayers. She said, every morning I start by declaring, and sorry, this is a paraphrase, so it's not the exact phrase, but, you know, start by declaring that there is only one mind, and I declare it, she said, then I pray to become conscious of it, and then I adhere to it the rest of the day. And again, we'll look up the exact phrase and put it on the Sentinel page when this goes up. But basically those three things, you know, I declare it, I become conscious of it, and I adhere to it for the rest of the day. And she says, and then the evil one cannot come to me. My understanding of that is she's saying, those thoughts would cloud our day, the doubt, the fear, the self-will, the self-consciousness, they can't come because I've established what the reality is first. And that reality is going to control the day. And I do think that's interesting because it's very easy to declare the truth. You know, to go to the books, read the books is crucial. I mean, and I want to talk a bit more about that later, but to declare the truth is helpful and it's important. But to become conscious of it is that thought shift when we're not thinking about reality or talking about reality, we're becoming conscious that it is the reality. So, you know, is life in spirit?
Yeah.
Is man the spiritual expression of God? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it helpful to know that? Yes. Is it helpful to declare that? Yes. But to become conscious of it is like the foundation for our day to me. But then she says, well, even when you've got that foundation, you have to hold steadfastly, not as a chore, not as an effort. I'll tell you, when I do this properly, my prayer day becomes so easy compared to when I don't.
Yeah.
But it's like you do have to hold to it. You just, when you realize you're being irritated, are you going to go back to that truth and say, no, God is all in all. God is spirit. I am the spiritual idea of God. And boy, that person I'm irritated with is the idea of God too. And I'm going to see that and stick with that. And there are a couple of phrases that come to me, which I think are really helpful to me. One is spiritual poise. And I'm not sure Mrs. Eddy uses this phrase herself, but just that sense of if you can start your day, whatever your particular understanding of your prayer approach is, if you can get to that point where you are going into that day and you're spiritually poised, I think that that's a wonderful feeling. And it doesn't mean challenges won't come to you. It just means you're going to meet them from a much more calm and ready position. And then the other word is persuaded. Are we persuaded? Paul talked about being persuaded. Mrs. Eddy talked about being thoroughly persuaded. Have we got to that point in our prayer that we're persuaded by the truths we've been thinking about, reading about, declaring? And I think that's a good measure, you know, and I'm going to hold my hand up and say, I don't get there every day, you know, and if you don't get there, don't beat yourself up.
Yeah.
You know, do it on your lunch break, do it at 3 o'clock, do it when you go for a restaurant break. But just know that you can reach that position of poise and you can be persuaded. And then you're primed to be the best help you can be to humanity and yourself and your family and your community and this church throughout the day.
You know, one of the cool things about getting to work with Sentinel Watch, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, when they first called me up, they said, we want to do something with Sentinel Watch. It's a little different. We want to be able to have conversations among Christian Scientists, but also maybe their friends who are sitting around the table too, and just speak open and honestly and practically about how we do this. Mm. And as I was hearing you talk there, I think I'm just going to speak openly here.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's this lingering feeling that maybe I don't know X. I'm not as well read in the Bible or science and health, that I'm missing something that's keeping me from having an effective healing.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, we have wonderful phrases for that mentality that isn't God, you know, mortal mind, the carnal mind. And it loves to whisper these things into our thoughts. And again, I speak not to the unconverted. I mean, we all know we've had moments when we get over that and moments when we don't. But at the end of the day, are we being persuaded by mortal mind or are we being persuaded by immortal mind? And so that's a question I've asked myself. You know, I can remember one time when I'd had a whole day of knowing I'd not reached that point of being persuaded.
Mm.
Of not feeling that spiritual poise. And I was sitting at home at night, and this was probably 9 o'clock. And I was just thinking about what you're saying, kind of, what do I need to know? What do I need to know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't like I went to the books and had some great revelation. It was just a sudden, quiet thought of God being God. You know, it wasn't anything more than that.
Just the recognition of God's
God
presence.
God is God.
Yeah.
God is God, you know. And then just such a sense of peace came over me. Now, sometimes I've had to go to the books and I've had to read and I've had to study to have those healings, obviously. But also just to know that it can be a thought. I mean, it is thoughts. It's all thoughts, isn't it? We know that healing is all about exchanging the thoughts that aren't helping for the thoughts that are. Another experience I had was 2 weeks when I was with the books and studying and praying. And, you know, the healing came. That was a physical problem, a pain problem. And I had to stay with the books. But again, the time the thought came was just thought shifted.
Yeah.
And that's what science does. It shifts our thought if we go to it with that humility and the expectancy of good.
And the expectancy of good. I like that. That comes up quite a lot. Something else that maybe we should really underscore here, and that is when, I'll just speak for myself, sometimes when I feel like I'm struggling with something and I'm working with what I believe is the truth, what I've been taught, what I'm trying to understand better, it's not a willfully knowing the truth. I'm going to get past this speed bump and then, I'll have my healing. There's something else that goes on that gets back to the fundamental of Christian Science, and that is this radical notion, radical in the everyday world, perhaps, this idea that man is spiritual. And that you don't have to work anymore to try to heal or to try to fix. When you glimpse that, it takes on a kind of momentum of its own. The healing flows from that. You can tell when that has happened too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, again, you're being persuaded by the truth. And Mrs. Eddy talks, I admit it. She says to admit that fact you just said.
Just admit it.
Yeah, well, to admit it, yeah. And then admitting it, you can declare it, you admit it, but then you have to also just feel that thought shift. You know, and the declaring is sometimes all you can do, and that's fine. You know, I had one healing where that's all I could do was just declare the truth, declare the truth, declare the truth. And it was a very acute pain. It was very fearful. And I got to the amazing point where none of the truth had got through to me except the recognition that they were true. You know, I wasn't feeling that, but I suddenly did feel that they are true. And then I had a pause in which I could pray, and because I couldn't pray up to that point properly, and I could pray, and I did have a healing. At the end of the day, God is God, and God is the healer, and all we're doing is opening our thoughts and hearts to let that love and light of God's healing come through to us. And there's no formula, because there's no one truth that does it all. It's the right truth at the right time, but you sure can cover the whole groundwork. You know, what is God? What is man? What is truth? And what is the next question?
Carlos is over there.
So I actually want y'all to dig a little bit deeper into this, because I feel like it addresses a lot of the questions that are coming in. And I'm just going to read one for you to go off of. It says, I'm having trouble feeling divine love. Any suggestions, please?
We do all want to feel divine love. And there are moments when everything fades into the background and all we feel is God's reality. I've certainly had moments like that. But it really is a universal ever-presence. And God is expressing himself through an infinitude of avenues. And we can see those expressions all around about us every day, if we have a heart to do so. And yes, those wonderful moments when we literally, directly feel God's love are just incredible. But those expressions of love, I mean, even that there's a practitioner on the end of the phone willing to take the call, is an amazing provision by God to us. We wouldn't have had those practitioners if we didn't have Jesus doing everything that Jesus did. We wouldn't have those practitioners if Mary Baker Eddy hadn't done everything she did, if there wasn't, you know, the Bible and science and health, if there wasn't all that. Is God's love pouring out for us so that we're in this position that someone is on the end of the phone or at the end of the email to take that call? Where does that come from if it doesn't come from God, from divine love? So we want to be open to those. And again, like I said with that day where I didn't feel God for a whole day and I wasn't feeling that spiritual poise, and then that little thought shifted my thought. When we're really grateful for all those little bits of love being dropped into our life by God all around us every day, it does open our heart to that actual presence of divine love that we can feel, we can experience, and who is absolutely loving each and every one of us to the hilt every moment of every day. It is there, like the sky is always behind the clouds. And, you know, those pinpricks of just accepting and being grateful for those love points, you could call them, all around, is taking bits of the clouds away, and then the sunlight streams through. And it's beautiful, but it's true.
When we have those moments of gratitude and when we allow ourselves to feel love where we find it, it hints at something more beautiful.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I had a friend who had a great healing of depression, and it was just taking up the little bit of gratitude. She couldn't find anything to be grateful for except the fact she was at work and she had a stapler, and she was grateful for the stapler. And that got it going, you know? It's amazing. Now, again, there are no formulae.
Right.
You know, all these things just need to be dealt with individually, case by case. But it's certainly helpful to me.
But this is one of the things I like about the Sentinel, is that we're inspired by some of these healings, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and it might inspire you to be open to something.
Yeah, and actually, going back to the very first question we had, I have had several healings where I have not done anything except answer a call for prayer. And like the friend I talked about earlier, often by reading the monitor or reading another newspaper, or, you know, just turning from what was taking up all my thought and then seeing someone else's need and praying for it, and then coming back and finding that my need had been met too.
Mm.
I had a healing of a bleeding that wasn't stopping once, where I just turned to pray for a friend because I heard of their situation. And I'd been praying for myself and the bleeding hadn't stopped. And when I turned to pray for my friend, sounds like Job, doesn't it? When I prayed for my friend, the bleeding stopped. And I mean, I don't even know when. It's just when I turned back, it was gone. And when I've been praying for the world in different situations, it's not that you're distracting your thought and therefore the healing comes. It really isn't. It isn't that. It isn't just a mental, human, material shift. You're turning to God as you would for your own healing, but for someone else's healing. And the answer comes just embracing you both, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's, again, there's no formulae, but when that happens, it is wonderful.
Do we have time for another couple of questions?
We can fit another question or two. And I'm kind of actually amazed you answer some of the questions as they're coming in. So thank you for that.
We'll pass the compliment upstairs.
I feel like this one is maybe like a nice next step in the conversation. It says, we all love Christian Science, I think everyone here, right? But it feels like it's the world's best kept secret. There seems to be some apathy in reaching out to people in the world in many Christian Science societies and churches. How do we pray about that?
So I'm going to share a lovely story with you that I had just recently.
Okay.
Because let's not call it apathy. I mean, it can be fear, it can be doubt, it can be a sense of I don't know enough to answer questions they come. There can be all sorts of things stopping us from doing that. So the core answer is to go back to prayer. And I had this experience where I came to a service right here, and our current reader had a beautiful reading on love. You know, such a basic thing, but it was absolutely wonderful. At least that's what I thought she was reading about. She was probably you know, you know how that happens. You say, oh, those readings on light were great. And it, I didn't read about that. Okay, but I took it away as being readings on love. And I got into this cab. It was an Uber driver. And they were actually listening to something on earphones, which I thought was pretty polite because they didn't want to bother me with what they were listening with. But we were just driving along, and there was obviously not an opportunity to speak. And then I just thought about that reading I just heard about love. And I thought, love is omnipresent. Love is everywhere. Love is all that is anywhere. Love is all that's governing. Love is all that's influencing, affecting. I just thought about all these things that, you know, I love about love. And at some point, she suddenly took out one of the earpods, or one, it dropped, I can't remember. And I just said, what are you listening to? And she said, well, it's a podcast on putting more stillness into our life. We had a great conversation. And there's so many details of that I could tell you, but one of the things she said, I've always been looking to understand how science and religion can exist together, you know, rather than in opposition. And I said in my thought, well, you've come to the right place. So we had a great conversation, and I did actually have a copy of Science and Health on me. And so I said at the end, if you want, I'm happy to share this book with you. It really explains in much more depth about why religion is a science, you know. And she took it and she drove away with it. But I say that because I don't think without that service inspiring me to think about love, I would have had that conversation. Now, you don't need the service. You just need to do the thinking about love. Because whatever it is, whether it's fear, whether it's doubt, whether it's apathy, if we're really sure that at that moment that we're living in a universe of love, then an opportunity will come. In fact, I just had another one yesterday, and I mean exactly the same thing, where I was on the flight back to here from Europe, talking to a guy who was very friendly, talking about everything except, you know, religion. And then I was just praying and just thinking, you know, I don't need to force him into that, but if that's why this conversation's taking place, if God has brought us together for that reason, then that conversation needs to happen, and I am ready to embrace it. And he suddenly started talking about religion. And he was from India, and I didn't ask him his religion, but he said he's been traveling around a lot, and he always feels really comfortable when he's in a Christian environment. And then he told me about a couple of instances he's had. And then, obviously, by that time, he knew I was a Christian Scientist. And then he started asking again about what that was. And again, I did happen to have a half copy of Science and Health in my bag. And I didn't give it to him at the time. I just wanted to leave him to stew on what he talked about. And then he came over and I met his family. And they were all delightful. And then later on, again, this is where prayer is so important. It's just, I knew if it was right to share that book, I would share that book. And it hadn't felt right at those particular two moments. But then right as we were coming off the plane, we were coming through at the end of the line, and his family came along. And it was just such a natural thing to say, by the way, this is where these ideas are from. But again, it's prayer that will get those opportunities. And if they come through your prayer, trust your prayer, you know, whether you're sharing a sentinel, where you're just sharing your thoughts, God is with you and God is supporting you. And I mean, if everyone in this room was just open to that, you know, at the end of this weekend, you'll get opportunities for conversations or whatever, because the world does want this. You know, in their heart of hearts, there's not a single human being who doesn't want to know what we know. And our prayers don't have to necessarily lead us to someone to share with directly. Our prayers might need someone to find the church, to find a lecture, to find the reading room, to find a periodical in a laundrette. There is no reality to the resistance that seems so real. And I want to share one more experience, because Please. This is key to my own development. I was in a reading room, and I was what was called a support worker. I wasn't the person on the front desk, and no one was coming in. And it was like 2 hours, 3 hours later, no one had come in. And I was thinking about, well, that's because of all the resistance in the world to Christian Science. And, you know, that seemed a very logical argument, because there is. We don't want to be blind to it. There are all sorts of things trying to get into the way of people either finding the truth or coming in to the church or whatever. And I thought, okay, well, where is that resistance? And I thought, well, the belief in that resistance at this moment is in me. And that's where I have to deal with it. I need to deal with that belief that there is this resistance in my own thought. And I thought, okay, well, do I believe there is resistance? Yes, I do. Does there seem to be resistance? Yes, there does. Does God create a universe where people are resistant to the one thing God has given us that every human being needs? I can pray until I'm persuaded that that is not the case, that that resistance is not anyone's reality. And literally after that, two people walked into the reading room, started coming to church regularly. And, you know, again, I'm holding my hand up. I don't do this every time in the reading room or I'm on the streets. But I can tell you, whenever I do, I've never not had something happen. Mm. And so let's take on the resistance in our own consciousness. If we overcome the belief in that resistance in ourselves, then we will see people coming to our churches and lectures and reading rooms. Can I say one more
please,
thing?
Please, yes.
Because I've been thinking a lot about, you know, we've mentioned it, the 150th anniversary since Science and Health was published. And we continue to be the fruitage, you know, chapter being written in a sense. All the healings you've had, all the healings that have happened over the last 150 years. It's about the lives transformed. Most of you are here because your whole life has been filled with experiences of God's presence, whether they're relationships, finances, physical healings, mental health healings, whatever. That's something that is key to humanity, that we not only heal,
right,
but that we have those healings. And one of the things that sort of been coming to me a lot, and quite honestly, I've experienced myself as well. So it's just mortal mind loves to distract us from those books, you know, and that's been true ever since the Bible's been here, I'm sure, and ever since Science and Health has been here. It's not a new ploy, but at the moment, we've just got so many things trying to take our mental attention that we have to be really alert to that. The obvious thing is you go to scroll on Facebook for 15 minutes and 2 hours later, you're still scrolling. And yeah, I've been there, done that. You know, that's an obvious distraction. But I think also within all the things that are now available that we have to access about Christian Science, I have to ask myself, am I just going to those things that are about Christian Science?
Right.
Or am I going back to the source?
Mm.
You know, enough. I'm not saying it's one or the other. I'm just saying I have to ask this of myself regularly. If I was married to Science and Health or married to the Bible, would my spouse be happy? Just take that question home with you. You know,
there's a metaphor. Yeah.
But it is. If you think about, one of the ways I think about it is like you've come to hear a Sentinel Watch program. I hope you've heard some good ideas. I hope you will take those good ideas home with you. I hope you've been inspired. I hope maybe you've even been healed. But what I know is there's not a single line in Science and Health that isn't infinitely more powerful than anything we can deliver to you in this kind of setting. And the Bible, Jesus, he was the master. Just make sure it has that place in our lives. And the daily lesson, obviously, Mrs. Eddy says the prosperity of the cause depends on it.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we not be doing that? But that isn't the be end and all end either. There's the whole book there. And that's something I just wanted to share from the heart, because it's something that's been coming to me a lot recently. And again, we're not just praying for ourselves. We're praying for the movement, we're praying for the world to know that no one's access to these ideas can be stopped through all these lives of resistance. And we are the front line watching. That's why we're a sentinel watch, watching what's in thought. And if that's something that we're dealing with, let's deal with it through prayer and pray for the world and know that that blockage to these books is not legitimate and it's not God's purpose or plan, and God's power is outweighing all that if we see it and love it.
One final thing. I would love it if everyone listening to Sentinel Watch got to hear you guys. So
you know, something I hope comes across in this podcast is how much love and joy could be felt in that room as we explored Christian Science together. There were so many wonderful questions from the audience, we just didn't have time to get to them all. But they provided some wonderful ideas for future Sentinel Watch podcasts. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you get your podcasts, because you won't want to miss any future episodes, that's for sure. And if you couldn't be there in Boston, well, we hope you'll make plans now to join us at Annual Meeting 2026. We'd love to see you there. Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm David Brown. The podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Jeff Turton. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. We'll talk again soon.
Enjoy inspiring examples of healing anytime, anywhere, with JSH Online audio content. Listen to the latest issues, anthologies of classic articles, podcasts, and more. Start listening at jsh.christianscience.com/audio.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.